Psalm chapter 1, follow along as I read. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Father, as we commit this time to you, may you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. May the Word of God be precious. May we accept it as it comes our way with openness, with joy, and with a willingness to change. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There's always a danger when the sermon is being recorded. If I do something off the cuff or whatever, that doesn't matter. Who cares? I want to just ask, as we talk about several things, first of all, the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? I think it's important that we understand what that means. So we've talked about it quite a bit. What does the fear of the Lord mean? Respect for God and who He is. Is there anything to add to that? Should there be any terror involved in that? Or any thought, kind of an aspect of terror?
Fear of being separated from God.
All right, the fear of being separated from God, or that's definitely for somebody who doesn't know Christ. That ought to definitely be there. For the believer, what should we maybe have terror of? In what aspect?
Punishment.
Disappointing him.
Punishment.
All right? Discipline for the believer. Disappointing him. So a respect, a healthy respect of God. It begins there. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it begins with God. We talked about our first portrait of the simple. Can you remember any characteristics of the simple?
Gullible.
Very good word. Gullible. And typically, children are known for being gullible. You can tell them a joke, you can do something with them, and they just kind of go along with it. And yet, for the believer, that's not a good thing, to be gullible. We need to be growing. We need to be maturing. And it talks in the Word of God about some of us, Paul writes, some of you ought to be on meat, but you're still on milk. You're still sucking milk from a bottle. And he's saying you need to be growing, maturing, so that you're not gullible when false doctrine comes away, that you'll be persuaded by it. We talked last week about the fool. Do you remember anything characteristic of the fool? Do we want to be a fool?
No.
He doesn't seek wisdom. All right. The fool does not seek wisdom at all.
Ignorance is bliss.
All right. For the fool, ignorance is bliss. All right. And it's not, especially if you go to the doctor and they find out something. The ignorance is not bliss, especially when you find out something's wrong. And you better act on that. I learned that a couple years ago. What else? The fool.
Hates correction.
Hates correction.
He says there's no God.
Frolics in his sin. Enjoys it. What about his mouth? Says kind words to everyone, right? No. In fact, that's one of the marks of a fool, is they have the wrong use of their mouth. They're slandering and gossiping and all kinds of things. So we talked about that. Today we're going to talk about what from our outlines? Class? The scoffer. The scoffer. This morning we're going to look at the scoffer. Is it relevant for us today to consider the scoffer? I mean, should we really be concerned about these portraits from a book that was written many years ago? Absolutely. It's so pertinent today you will not believe it. In fact, in Jude, we won't turn to it, but in Jude and also in 2 Peter, it reminds us, in the last days there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. 2 Peter goes on and says they deliberately overlook the fact that God created this world. And then it goes on to explain how the scoffer mocks God, mocks anything to do with God, and says, that's a bunch of nonsense. Do we ever hear from scoffers today? Oh, I think it's very pertinent for today. Scoffers were active in Jesus' day, and we continue to hear from them today. Jesus told his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." A Christian, that's why we're instructed in His Word that we ought to be ready to give a defense. We ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us of the reason of the hope that we have. Scoffers have always been around, and they will be around for a long time until the Lord makes everything right. If you want to be blessed, however, in your life, if you want to avoid being like the scoffer and hanging around the scoffer, Psalm 1 reminds us, it says, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scoffers, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, and on His law he meditates day and night." The way that we can not become a scoffer ourselves, and there is a danger as believers of being like the scoffer, we need to meditate on His Word, know what His Word says, and draw close to Him. We see in that psalm alone, we see a progression downward. First there's the walking, and then the standing, and then the sitting. Kind of hanging around sin in a little bit loose way, then standing around, and then sitting in the seat of the scoffer. It's like the idea we become like them. We start acting like them. And so today, so that we will not do that, we're going to take a look at the portrait of the scoffer. Look at some of the characteristics involved. The Bible often speaks of the scoffer in other terms as well. Scorners or mockers. So these three words are often used and interchangeably to refer to this one called the scoffer. The scoffer is one who mocks the things of God and expresses his negative opinion of wisdom with derision. Their negative opinion of their own wisdom with derision in order to involve others. And so they like to gather others around them. So let's look and see what the scoffer is like and how we can avoid being like him. Number one, first characteristic of a scoffer, and I hope you have your outlines before you, fill in the blanks there. Number one, the scoffer is motivated by pride. By pride. Proverbs 21:24 says this, "Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride." That verse is filled with pride and all kinds of words that describe it, doesn't it? The prideful man has three names: proud, arrogant, and scoffer. So the scoffer is filled with pride. The arrogant man has an exaggerated sense of his own importance. The haughty man, the arrogant man, the prideful man views others as beneath him. The scoffer puts these two qualities together and acts on them. He thinks highly of himself, lowly of others, and lives in accordance with that. The pride and arrogancy of the scoffer keeps him at odds with God, because the Bible says this in James 4:6, "He, God, resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Sometimes I'm afraid in our day and age, humility is looked down upon. It's looked down as being like a wimp. But I don't see that at all. As you look at the Word of God, you look at Moses. Moses was referred to as the most humble man of his day and on the earth. And Moses was not a wimp. Moses had to deal with a lot of people, and he dealt with them in a very much of a leadership role. But he was a humble man. The wise man is the one who humbles himself before God. He recognizes who God is and who he is, and thus he is humble before him. The scoffer is filled with pride. Second, the scoffer likes to criticize others. Proverbs 1:22 says this, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge?" Really, I kind of liken the scoffer. The scoffer is really a fool, but on steroids. It's kind of like he is a fool, but he then wants to get others involved, and he wants to let everybody know how good he is and how they need to join in him. He's not afraid to open his mouth and use his mouth as a weapon. And we'll see that in just a little bit. But scoffers are always criticizing the efforts and accomplishments of others. They delight in it. So as they criticize others, there's three things that are typical of their criticism. A scoffer uses his mouth in sinful ways. We can't miss that in Psalm chapter 1 in the progression there. The parallel to the scoffer is the wicked and the sinners. Wickedness often manifests itself plainly in the way that a person speaks. And James reminds us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. We can do great harm through our words, and the scoffer is good at it. The scoffer is someone who is characteristically evil in the way that he speaks. The scoffer, second, speaks with mockery and hatred. Nothing is sacred to the scoffer. The scoffer thinks it's funny when someone sins. And he takes God's judgment lightly. He makes fun of it. If you mention God's judgment or a place called hell, they will laugh. They talk of having a party in hell. Have you ever talked with any of your friends, coworkers, and you've talked about God's judgment? They said, well, we're going to have a good time in hell, and I'll have lots of people there with me. Well, that's not how the Bible talks about it. It's going to be a dreadful place, a place of great regret. And so I don't think there'll be anything close to a party in hell at all. So rather than look at it seriously and contemplatively, they look at it as a joke. Third, the scoffer sets his ridicule on other people. The scoffer has a general sense of everyone else's inadequacies and very little sense of his own. He loves to take the seat and entertain his friends with stories of others' shortcomings. He's a man of division. He may be the life of the party, but when he leaves, there's peace, the Bible tells us. The scoffer voices his disagreement, ridicules others who stand against him, and actively recruits others to join his side. Boy, that sounds like our day and age, doesn't it? The scoffer ridicules, insults, laughs at, and makes sport of God, his ways, his word, his people, and of anything that is true, honest, and holy. It's kind of funny as I go into certain settings, whether it's at the PD, whether it's at Bickford, or just in the community, in certain school functions as the kids were going through school. And as people would introduce me, they would introduce me either as Pastor Mark or Chaplain Mark. And it's interesting, people's reaction to that. Pastor Mark. Some will come up and say, oh, I know a pastor. My brother-in-law is a pastor or whatever. And they're like, yeah, I like that. At least it gives you a little bit of encouragement, Then there's some others that come along and they're kind of respectful. Pastor, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shake my hand, whatever, nod. Others don't even look at me. But then there's always some that are kind of like the scoffer. Pastor Mark. Chaplain Mark, oh, you're one of those that believes in all this nonsense. And they make it very clear to everyone around them what they think about God, church, anything to do with Jesus. And it's just interesting to watch. The scoffer really rises to the surface. Have you noticed that? And again, I'm not encouraging you, but if you've gone to Facebook at all recently, you see the scoffers, they're just pouring all over the place. In fact, I don't want to deal with it. I feel like I need to go wash my hands, take a bath, and it's just, but the scoffers, it's really frustrating to be around. They ignite the whole situation. They mock anything to do that is right or good or holy. Very quick to criticize others, but notice the next point. The scoffer refuses to receive instruction, correction, or criticism. All quick to criticize, but don't you dare criticize them. The first aspect of that, they refuse to receive instruction. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. The scoffer is unteachable. Scoffers or scorners or mockers are unteachable because they refuse to listen. It reminds me, in fact, I guess I'd give a good illustration. Now, I had three sisters. My older sister is about 15 months, 18 months older than I am, and we had kind of some challenging times together, running battles as well, we were growing up. But I remember the thing that annoyed me the most when I was trying to talk to her and debate with her or whatever. You know what she would do to me? She would go like this, la, 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 la. That's kind of the scorner. Don't teach me anything. Do you have, maybe your wife does that to you? No, I don't know. No. But that really is frustrating, isn't it? When you just, someone will not accept instruction, will not listen. They just talk over you. Like fools in general, a scoffer does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing their own minds. Scoffers are so wrapped up in their own opinions, they will not accept wisdom. Now let me just pause here for a moment. Let me get personal and let's let the Holy Spirit work in all of our lives. Have you learned as you've grown older? Have you been willing to learn and receive instruction? Or have you stopped learning? Have you learned all there is to know about life in general? Or are you still willing to receive God's word and recognize that there are some deficiencies and some changes that need to be made? It's tough, isn't it? When people point out things to you. I was just kind of thinking through this whole thing. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me kind of finish what, not only do they not receive instruction, but they don't receive correction. They dish it out, but they can't handle it when it comes back their way. Proverbs 9, 7, and 8 says this, "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury." Verse 8, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will what? Love you." Proverbs 13, 1, "A wise son hears his father's instruction." Okay, Dad. "But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." In other words, scorners or scoffers, they don't learn from their mistakes. They keep doing the same dumb things over and over again. Proverbs 15, 12, "A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise." So not only does a scoffer resist instruction, counsel, or reproof, he hates it and he will be violent toward anyone that would dare to point out something that is wrong in his life. So here's what I want to just bring out. When a parent, a spouse, a sibling, a teacher, a boss, or a friend points something out that needs to be corrected in your life, in my life, how do we respond? Do we love them or do we hate them? Do you make it clear to that person, don't you dare tell me anything like that again? Or do we say, thank you, and welcome their criticism in our life? I can think of a couple times in my life as I was sitting reflecting on this, and I've told you a couple of these before, but I think it's pertinent at this time. When I worked at the sawmill, I was a 18-year-old young man, thought I knew everything. Oh, was I dumb. But I was working hard at a sawmill, and that was an area that I was still learning. And I remember as a tail sawer, now that doesn't mean a whole lot to many of you, but when the guy is cutting up a log and it's coming your way, you have to do a lot as a tail sawer. You have to pile up the lumber that comes. You have to trim off the boards. You have to trim off big pieces of wood. It's a lot involved, and it's running. It's chaotic running from one end to the next, carefully piling piles and doing things and trimming things. I'm still lucky to have all my fingers in my arm. I really am, because I had huge saws that I was cutting things off of. But I remember the time when I was in the midst of everything, running this way, running that way, carefully doing everything. The boss came over to me, and he just slapped my hand. I didn't like that. You know, as an 18-year-old guy, I've never, my dad slapped my butt, you know, a lot, an awful lot, and I deserved it. But I didn't like a boss doing that with me. But I kept going along, and before you know, he's turned my pile over of wood. He just knocked the whole thing over. And that things kept coming still, though. You know, it was not like everything stopped and everything. But what he was trying to teach me is efficiency. He was trying to teach me I better pile that pile of lumber the right way or else he's going to be ticked off. I had to put up with that for a couple years. And you know, there were times when I wanted to quit and I hated it. Oh, I hated it. But I'll tell you, as I look back, and I sure didn't like the man. I remember guys going after him in his office and they were ready to kill him because he was such a hard-nosed boss. But I tell you, as I came away from that experience, and I remember going off to Hong Kong, I was raising support, and I was ready to go off to as a college student, and I was looking for additional monies to make that trip. He pulled me in his office and said, "I want to help you out for that trip." He says, the way you've worked around here and put up with me, I want to help you." And he gave me $500 for that trip to the Philippines, and then again for another trip to China when we went to China and Hong Kong. And I look back and I'm thinking, you know, I could have very easily walked away, and I wanted to. I wanted to hit him at times. You think that? I'm going to smack you. But you know what? I'm so thankful that I had to learn as a young man, an angry young man, how to handle correction and instruction. There was another time I went into as a pastor. I'm an intern pastor at a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the head pastor there was a drill sergeant. And I run into him again. I thought, my boss, I thought I left behind. But I end up with a drill sergeant. There were seven of us interns and then another group that was ahead of us. So there were about 13 or 14 of us all together. And man, I'll tell you, he was like a sergeant and I was like the private. And he was a no-nonsense, rough, in some cases, nasty to me. And I didn't like it. But I learned a lot through him. I actually learned to respect him. I did also learn how I never wanted to be like him as a pastor. I mean, I learned some things. I hate to say they were all positive, but I never wanted to be like him. And so some of the things that I do in my ministry, I think are just the opposite of what he did because I love people too much and I would never devastate him like he would do with people. In our last church, there was a deacon, God bless his heart, and I love him to this day. I love him dearly. There was one time that I'm greeting folks and all that stuff, and he comes up, puts his arm around me, and I was thinking, boy, he liked the sermon today. So, man, I'm ready for this. And he goes, "You need to get your kid under control." Do you know what I wanted to do to him? I wish I could fire him at that point. No, I couldn't fire him. What could I do? No, that was really painful. That was really hurtful. But I realized my boy was taking advantage of me being busy and Judy being busy. And so he was running around creating chaos. So I had to learn how to get my boy under control. Folks, it's hard to get criticized, isn't it? It's hard to be instructed at times, especially when you get close to home with family or whatever. Our attitude, our actions. The scoffer, the scorner, the mocker says, "Don't you dare tell me anything." The wise person is able to accept it, not hit him back, not hate him, but says, "I love you for it." And I tell you, I'm thankful for in every one of those cases for the lessons that I learned. Oh, if they only knew my heart, at that time it was not right, not very good. And so I'm glad that only God knows my heart. But I learned through those experiences, and I learned today, I'm still learning, that there are a lot of areas that I need in my own life to be corrected in, to be challenged, and I need to be willing to change and to not be like the scoffer. If we respond to our correctors with abuse or hatred or cutting off those friendships, we are acting just like the scoffer. Number four, the scoffer creates conflict. Obviously, with that kind of attitude of pride and arrogance and the arrogancy and not willing to listen, not willing to be instructed, they create conflict. Proverbs 24:9 says, "The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind." Now, that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? An abomination, it means disgusting, repelling, repulsive. The scoffer is disgusting, repelling, and repulsive to mankind. If someone is a mocker or a scorner, then they are just not fun to be around. Proverbs 29:8 says, "Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath." Proverbs 22:10, "Drive out a scoffer, and strife will go away." So as we see from these particular references, the scoffer makes repeated appearances in the book of Proverbs so that we will learn, so that we will listen and be wise. The scoffer refuses to listen, lacks wisdom, is full of pride, and will not seek or heed counsel. Number 5, the scoffer brings harm to himself. Proverbs 9:12 says, "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it." The scoffer goes to judgment. God has prepared judgment for the scoffer, and everything that he has done will come to nothing. This morning, as we bring this to a conclusion, I just want us to reflect and think about our own lives. Are we sitting in the seat of the scoffer? Are we jeering out loud under our breath at sin, at God's judgment, or other people? Do we receive instruction? Or are we always trying to save face? As believers, we have to be so careful that we do not imitate the life, the actions, the attitude, and the speech of the scoffer. It is good to be discerning and to see the folly in others, but grief rather than scoffing should be our response. When we see someone doing wrong, when we see somebody getting caught for their actions, it ought not to be with rejoicing. It ought to be with great grief in our heart, sorrow in our heart, and we ought to learn from our own, from that actions and say, "Lord, help me to learn. Help me to be careful of the blind spots in my own life and to be sensitive to your leading." What's the solution for the scoffer? They need to look to Jesus. Was Jesus ever scorned? Class, what do you think? Was he ever scorned? Mocked? Absolutely. In fact, you could say he was scorned and scoffed to death. He was abused and hated to the point of crucifixion. He received the full weight of human scorn on the cross. His ears rang with the full chorus of human scoffing. But he bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. The only hope for the scoffer and the only hope for us is the salvation and the forgiveness that we have found through Jesus Christ. He bore it all on the cross for us. So where's the hope for the scoffer? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scoffer. If you find yourself in his chair, don't stay there. You may feel that you're in a happy place, but you're not if you're sitting in a chair alongside the scoffer. Your greatest joy will not be found in your scoffing, but in your walking with Christ through his word. May God help us to go to him, to find in our Savior forgiveness and strength to walk, to live in joy. And that is found in the way of wisdom. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at these different characters from the book of Proverbs, may we determine to be like the wise man who's building his life on a strong foundation, on the rock, on the Word of God, not only hearing the Word of God, but obeying it. And so, Father, may the Word of God be precious to us. May we seek to know it more. May we be reading it and applying it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.